Good afternoon. Happy Saturday to you. Stillwater area. This is Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osman, and you are listening to Flashback Twin Cities. It's a show that takes a look at the media of yesteryear here in the local area, and we look back on it fondly, make fun of it a little bit, gently, and just have an overall good time today. I am thrilled to be co-hosting. If you follow the Twitter, if you're a tweeter, if you're in the tweet space or Facebook arena, I'm Don't Flinch Guy at Twitter. That's my Twitter handle, as the kids say. Thrilled to be filling in here today because Tom has let me run a little wild with this. And we are doing a tribute to sports, which is most dangerous. But he's got a great collection there on his website. If you haven't been there, it's tcmedianow.com. That's tcmedianow, all one word, no hyphens or anything in there, .com. And you can take a look at some of the great collection that he has established for himself. Along the ride with me today, well, I should say I'm along the ride with you, is Tom. How are you, sir?
Not too bad at all. Tell you what, you be the conductor. I will just tell you when to stop.
How about that? Very good. That's good. That's good. I used to have back in the day, I was a thespian.
A thespian?
Yes. And I had a theater teacher once tell me that every great artist is really two great artists. Somebody to make the art and somebody to say, stop. You're done.
That is very important. Some people will just keep going overboard until
right.
What was beautiful is now just kind of bad.
Sometimes less is more. This is what my fiancé tells me all the time. I don't know what that means in my case. But
you should say that means you don't have to vacuum.
No, there we go. Or just vacuum a little piece.
Yeah.
A little piece of the house.
Little thing.
We're going to start today by, because, you know, as a Minnesota sports fan, as I am, and and by the way, everything we look at here at Flashback Twin Cities, we try to take a local spin on it so that it is in the Twin Cities area. And it's real easy as a sports fan to get pretty negative in this town.
Mostly if you're a Vikings fan.
If you're a Viking, and I know that this is the Packers station, and actually we'll get to this later in the show. I do have a little, you know, a metaphorical building of the bridge between the two communities. We have a great clip of Halsey Hall and Ray Scott. And Ray Scott, for those who didn't know, I think every Packer fan really knows Ray Scott was the Packer announcer in the 60s and I think even in the 50s, and he did Super Bowls 1 and 2 for CBS. So we have a clip of him coming later, so I'm going to build that bridge. But as a Minnesota sports fan, real easy to just get negative. We haven't had a championship. Well, we had the Lynx championship in the WNBA a couple of years ago, but we haven't had a men's professional sports team championship since 1991. So I want to go back to those days where we brought one home. Our first clip is Ronald Reagan at the White House lawn after the 1987 Twins World Series championship. Now, to put this all in perspective for you, I was only 7 years old in 1987. And so I was a huge, huge Twins fan, and I just thought you won the World Series every year. I just thought that this is how this happened. But I think a generation above me, so I'm what now, 30, 33 years old. So people who are 40 to 50 or 60 or even beyond that know how magical that 1987 run was. I mean, just everything, stars aligned. We hadn't had a championship in this town in a long time, and it was an underdog story from beginning to end. And I thought with this holiday weekend, we should really look, what's more American than baseball and Ronald Reagan?
those are kind of the definition, isn't it?
I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be mad at me for playing this clip. This is Ronald Reagan telling a story of his personal experience as a sportscaster.
I know they felt the thunder. And you know, all this talk about baseball, I got to get in the game somehow myself here with a story. I set a record in baseball, Major League Baseball. I wasn't playing. I was a sports announcer. I was doing a telegraphic report game of the Cubs and the Cards. Dilly Jurgis at the plate, ninth inning, this game tied up. I saw my operator on the other side of the window, but headphones on, listening to the dot and dash from the field, start typing, meaning that there was something, the ball was on the way to the plate, and so on. I didn't wait. I said that Dizzy Dean was on the mound, and I said, all right, Dean has got his sign. He's out of the windup. Here comes the pitch. And he was shaking his head no, and I took it and said, the wire has gone dead. I had a ball on the way to the plate. So I had Jurgis foul it off. And then I thought, you know, in those days, a dozen of us were broadcasting the same baseball game. It wasn't one outfit. And I didn't want to, at that point of the game, lose my audience, so I decided I'd have Jurgis foul another one home. Which he did.
Hold it.
And my operator's still just sitting there. Then I had him foul one that just missed being a home run by a foot. Then I had him foul one down back at third, and I described the two kids that got in a fight over the ball. Well, this went on till I knew now I couldn't back out. I'd had him at the plate so long, and all of a sudden, Curly started typing. And I started another ball to the plate and got it. And I could hardly talk for giggling. Jurgis popped out on the first ball pitch. But in the meantime, I have set a baseball record for successive fouls and length of time at the bat.
So there you go. The audio is a little bit, that's my fault, collecting sketchy audio. But what a cool story. I mean,
First off, I don't think that's your fault. That's audio that's been recorded from years and years ago that people, you know, it's hard to get good stuff from back then.
I couldn't find anything better. But what a great story. First of all, just to go back in time to when they were broadcasting baseball games, that's how he did it. He was just getting the wire feed, and they were just describing from the ballpark what was going on via telegraph, whatever was coming into them. And he had to just make it up as he went along. And I just thought it was just a brilliant stroll down memory lane. It also demonstrates to me, you know, sometimes we like to say, you know, today's politicians, they're just liars. That's not how it was back then. But that's evidence that occasionally Mr. Reagan would bend the truth just a little. And of course, I'm kidding. I'm not going to get into a big political discourse here. But I just thought that was a really neat story and really cool to capture that. The Twins sitting there on the White House lawn. As we are examining the Minnesota sports scene, I thought it would be good to take a look at Ahmad Rashad. Now, he's one of us, as we like to say. He's not from Minnesota originally, but he played his football with the Minnesota Vikings, and he was a wide receiver, very famous wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, and then went on to a great career in broadcasting. So I thought today we'd do just a little tribute to him, first by taking a look at a clip from Vikings Football Report with Tony Parker in 1979. So Vikings Football Report was kind of just a half-hour show. Bob Lertzema, who was Benchwarmer Bob, often co-hosted the show. And this is Ahmad Rashad's, to my knowledge, one of his first times on TV, and the first step to a very great career in the 80s and 90s and even a little bit today. And so here it is, Ahmad Rashad with Tony Parker from 1979.
Actually, the thing is, every time you catch a quick out and you try to make a move on the guy, all of a sudden he becomes leery and he becomes hesitant. And then all of a sudden he makes a wrong move and you'll get a chance to get away with something like that, maybe once, twice a year.
Were you running flat out full speed there?
No.
No, okay. Here's young Cunningham, a rookie. Made a fine catch with the toes there. Stayed inside.
Of course,
inside.
If I was, I probably wouldn't win any faster.
Notice that number 78 up in the top part of your screen.
Steve Riley did a great job.
Great job against Cedric Hunt.
That's Sammy the voice of the Bob Lertzema there.
Sammy runs that pattern to perfection, that comeback pattern.
Love the
what
music.
We have here, folks.
This is something that Tommy and I worked on this all last summer, running that corner pattern. Right down in our neighborhood. We run that 10, 12
times. Go down to the old Ford, take a left, and I'll
yeah.
Throw you a pass.
That's the same one.
Again, Ricky Young. Ricky having his usual good game.
Was that when Doug Sutherland got hurt?
Yeah, he was trying to run that same pattern. You know that?
That's right.
Doug got his shoulder on that one. Oh, I think we're one play away from that last controversial one. Let's take a look here.
Practice makes perfect.
This is number 3. No extra points for jumping the chairs.
No, we know we practiced that Saturday about 10 times.
Jumping the chairs?
No. Jumping the chair. Catching the ball and then jumping the chair.
That's hazardous. Somebody get hurt.
I think Bud will have it removed.
You do work on that corner pin.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Let's
we
take
did
a look.
Saturday.
Here we go. Clearly over the goal line.
Clearly.
There you
clearly.
Go. This might come back, or we can take another quick look.
Just in case, Sammy just got on it. Just in case.
Yeah, here we go. Let's once more see what we can see.
Tell them about the official here. See the official. Tell them about the other official you don't really see.
There's an official up at the top of your screen that's looking straight down the plane of the goal. And as I crossed the line, his hand went up immediately. Uh-huh. And the only way we could see that is we saw that at practice yesterday because we have a wide angle film. And his hand went up immediately. Then the next guy's hand went up, and it was kind of a chain reaction. But the first guy has the call.
Okay, now let's clear up the rule. It's the new rule that if the fumble within the 20-yard line lasts 2 minutes, only the man who fumbles can recover it.
Yes.
Right.
So that if this hadn't been ruled a touchdown, the Vikes would have had it first and goal on the one, roughly.
Right. From the point of the fumble.
Yeah, and with
what
the
if
time,
San Diego would have recovered it?
Then we're dead.
But okay.
Since Sammy recovered it, he would have had the ball first and one and goal, could have kicked the field goal and won the football game.
Right. We couldn't lose.
Okay.
It was a cakewalk.
That's what you said last week. I'm glad it turned out that way. We'll come back in just a moment and talk some more, but first let's take time out to watch this.
All right. That was 1979 Vikings Report with Tony Parker. And that show has sort of evolved throughout time. In the 80s, it became the Herschel Walker show when he was a Minnesota Viking. And then in the 90s, when Denny Green was the host, it was called the Denny Green Show. And so there's been a lot of different pregame shows. And now that Fox Sports North controls it, it's hosted by Paul Allen. And it's a fun look back. And so that's Ahmad Rashad's great broadcasting career start there. He went on to do NBA Inside Stuff and a lot of other things for NBC. And I thought, if we're going to talk about Ahmad Rashad, we better take a look at him in his signature moment. His signature moment. For those that don't know, Ahmad Rashad was married to, for a long period of time, Felicia Rashad, who was the she was the husband of Mr. Bill Cosby.
She was the husband of Bill.
Oh, I apologize. She was the wife.
Ah,
she was the wife.
There we go.
Does that make sense? There we go. That's a match. So so she was on the Cosby Show during this time. This is Ahmad Rashad doing a live look-in on Thanksgiving Day. Now, this takes guts.
Joe Klecko is a true hero. Now, I get a little nostalgic when I come back to the Silver Dome because I remember the last time that I played here. The last thing I remember was looking up at this ceiling as I was wheeled out on a stretcher, which was not a very good day. But I'd like to take this time today to try to make this a better day. Bobby, I got something I want you to do for me. There's a lady that I'm in love with, and you know the lady as Claire Huxtable on The Cosby Show. What I'd like you to do is dispatch somebody. She's there in New York at the Macy's Day Parade. Now, this isn't all serious now. I would like to send this message to her. Felicia, would you marry me? Would you get back to me, Bobby, on that answer?
You're not kidding, are you, Ahmad?
I am dead serious.
You have proposed on national television to Felicia Ayres Allen, is that right?
Either I will be the happiest person in the world or the biggest turkey on national television.
Well, now, we're going to send somebody out to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we'll find her, and we'll get her response. And assuming she says yes, can you get us tickets to the Cosby Show?
I'm waiting, Bobby.
Congratulations, pal. Happy Thanksgiving. She'll say yes, won't she?
I don't know. I vote for the Turkey Award.
It's a bold move, let me tell you.
So there it is, Ahmad Rashad with what Michael Wilbon calls on ESPN. He says, that's the public proposal to end all public proposals because it's just so unique. She's not even there. She's not even there. She's just, it's almost like you remember in like seventh grade when you'd pass along a note to somebody and you'd say, will you go out with me? Will you go steady with me? And you'd check a box, yes, no, or maybe. And then you have a friend deliver the news. So that's basically what Ahmad Rashad did. But you can't, yeah, nobody's ever going to have a proposal like that again.
Well, you got to be in a pretty good position to even make something like that.
Right.
And yeah, like the little note, you're waiting for that response. That's the horrible part.
Yeah.
You're either excited or just horrified. It's a weird combination of both of them.
Yeah, you have yes, no, or maybe. You know, maybe was always the popular choice. I think there's a Jack Johnson song that says, maybe pretty much always means no. And and that's how it went in seventh grade for me.
I like you, kinda.
Yes, I cherish our friendship so much.
I think of you as a brother. That's a great one.
Oh, thanks, guys. Love to hear. How about this one? You're cute. Oh, kiss
every
of death.
Every guy wants to be called cute.
Every guy wants to be called cute. And actually, in my acting days, when I was out in out in Los Angeles, I would audition for these parts that weren't for me. You know, handsome leading man, 6'4", full of muscles, and they would say that right on the audition slip. But I'd audition anyway. But it took me years to figure out that those girls in seventh grade were right. I'm cute, not hot.
Would they always say it with, "Oh, you're cute"?
Yes, yes. And then they come to you with their guy problems too.
Oh yeah,
even worse.
That's fine.
Even worse. But Ahmad Rashad, I mean, tip of the cap for him for doing that, because I just think it's a sweet move. And you're right, not many people can do it.
That takes some guts.
But
my goodness.
But you know, it's not. And he didn't even put her really on the spot, which is what a lot of public proposals do. You know, if you're on the Jumbotron at a major ballpark or something. I mean, the girl's on the spot, the poor girl. If she doesn't want to do it, there's no out.
There's been a few of those videos where, yeah, they say no.
Yes.
And boy, is that awkward.
Yeah. Actually, a couple of years ago, the Houston Rockets did it as a gag. They set it up. They hired a couple
actors. I've seen
that
one. And I thought it was real for about a week.
Phenomenal. Really, just really, really good stuff. I tell you what we're going to do here. We've been chatting it up a little bit. We've been playing some video clips. Why don't we take a little break? You are listening to KLBB. This is Flashback Twin Cities, the show that takes a look at the media of yesteryear. And today, we're giving a special salute to sports. So stick around with us. Happy Saturday to you. You're listening to KLBB. Welcome back. Flashback Twin Cities, the show that takes a look at local media from yesteryear with a smile, sometimes a little poking fun at, sometimes having just a good time with. And if this music's a little different to you, it's because Jack Stallman's in the chair right now, taking over for Tom Osmond this week, who is on vacation. Glad to be talking with you today.
I think this is the most epic music we've had on this show.
It's just beautiful music, and the reason we're playing it is because today is a salute to sports. It's our local sports teams, and this, if you've ever seen anything from NFL films, you recognize that music right out of the get-go. It's just beautiful. It gets me pumped up. We're only about a month away from football training camp starting up, and so I'm excited. I know a lot of people around here are excited. No matter which team you cheer for, the purple team, the green and gold team, I won't, you know, we're not going to say any names. I will say some names, but, you know, you can't look at Minnesota sports, especially football, which is what we're going to talk about right now, without having a tribute to losing. Minnesota sports just find a way, especially the Vikings, find a way to just, so I feel like this will please both audiences we have here, because we're right on the border. So you get a lot of Packer fans, but I don't think Packer fans mind going down memory lane and talking about Viking losses. And Viking fans, and I can speak as one of them, we really were so used to losing that we've come to the point where we enjoy it.
It is kind of a little game we play.
Yeah, it hurts, but it hurts so good. I mean, John Mellencamp had it right on when he said that. And it's easy to look at some big losses that the Vikings have had in 2001. They lost the NFC championship game 41-0. That was a good one.
Ooh.
We've lost many times to Packers in various ways, but the number one loss to me was in 2003. Now, let me paint the picture for you. 2003, the Vikings had a great team, started off, I think, 8-3, just on their way to cruising into the playoffs. No problems at all. This was the Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper team when Dante Culpepper had both of his knees working well. All we had to do the last week of the season after slumping in the second half of the season, all we had to do was beat the Arizona Cardinals, who were the worst team in football. They have fourth and forever. I think they're 28 yards from the goal line. Fourth and forever. They're down five. I think we all know what happens, but I'm going to play it anyway. This is Paul Allen, our local guy, and you can hear the pain in his voice. Here's the final play of that game.
Yeah, and the clock continues to run, PA. 17, 16, 15.
See, they have to go deep into the end zone.
We better put some people in the end zone, right, Joe?
That's exactly right.
I mean,
get
there's nobody there. Inside the 10.
Get back, guys.
Here it is. The season's on the line. Two receivers left and right. McCown takes the snap. He steps up. He's all by himself. Fires into the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs! I believe it was caught by Nate Poole. He's being mugged by his Cardinal teammates. There are Minnesota Vikings crying on the field.
We were just talking about that this last weekend with my buddy, with my buddy's dad.
It's hard to hear, but, you know, after a certain amount of time, these epic losses, they're just funny. Like, it's almost just comical. Like, how are we going to end up losing this game? And I remember sitting at a sports bar. I'm from Minnesota. I now live in Minnesota. But at the time, I was not living in Minnesota. I was living in Los Angeles. And there was one Viking fan at the sports bar. It was one of these where every TV had a different game on, so everybody had all these different jerseys on.
Oh, yeah.
I was the only Viking fan, and there was one Packer fan. So to add insult to injury to that game, the team that got in because we were kicked out was the Green Bay Packers. So they got into the playoffs with that loss, and it was just – you kind of knew. You knew when they were driving the ball down the field, even when it was 4th and 26 from the 26-yard line, they were going to score.
Well, there were two teams that had to play and lose in order for the Packers to get in. The Vikings were one of them. And I forget the other team, but my friend's dad was telling me he was at the Packers stadium when this happened. And what was going on is the stadium would not announce the game scores because they didn't want to bring down the crowd. But the people in the box seats were watching the games on TV. So when one team lost, they told the people in front of them in the bleachers. And it slowly spread throughout the whole thing, kind of like the wave.
Oh.
And you would just see, like, everyone would get excited, and the people on the other end, what's going on? What's happening over there? What's going on? And then when the Vikings lost, they told them again, the bleacher, the people at the top, and it spread throughout the whole thing, and just screams exploded slowly around the whole thing as people realized what was going on. And my friend's dad says that is one of the top 10 moments of his life as a huge Packer fan.
Watching
the whole stadium explode into joy, just, and everyone was confused until it hit them.
Right.
And just then euphoria.
Wow. And, you know, we will never have that moment again because we're living a cell phone era where smartphones, they just provide the score for you right away. And even in 2003, it's only 10 years ago, but that people didn't have, you know, if your screen had a color screen on it, you were doing pretty good.
I hadn't started texting for another 3 years or so.
Right. Yeah. I was late to that scene as well. You know, I just thought it was a fad, you know. And computers, they're a fad. No. So, yeah, we'll probably never have a moment like that. I actually have a buddy who says that most great 80s plots, 1980s movies, mm-hmm. new movie plots, cannot exist today because they almost are entirely about a miscommunication that has to deal with not being able to get to the phone in time.
Oh, you know, that's true.
There's a lot of them.
You got to get to a payphone. Same with 60s
right.
and
yes.
50s. You got to
yeah.
get that information out.
Yeah, and so a lot of plots would be just completely foiled. So anyway, that was a painful moment, but I can't really do a salute to losing with the Minnesota Vikings without talking about 1998. Now, we need to color this a little bit for people. 1998, the Minnesota Vikings were 15-1. 15-1. And at the time,
no
15-1 team had ever lost in the playoffs. No 15-1 team. And now it's fine. I don't mind it now because the Packers 2 years ago were 15-1 and lost in the playoffs. So now we each got one of those. You know, they have a couple extra Super Bowl rings hanging around. But overrated. So we each got one of those. But this talks about the Gary Anderson miss. Now, the Vikings were up 7. I'm going to talk more in depth about this. I'm going to let this play a little bit, and then I'll talk afterwards. But just to color it, Vikings up 7. Gary Anderson on to seal the deal. Doesn't go well.
Gary Anderson blows his perfect season.
He will always be known as the guy who was a part of screwing up the Vikings' trip to the Super Bowl, even though he had this magnificent season.
In 1998, the Vikings were clear Super Bowl favorites.
Touchdown, Vikings! Bomb downfield to Moss, juggles it! Touchdown!
It's a kind of season where, when you come to Metrodome on Sundays, be like you're headed to an amusement park.
They're easily the best team in football.
Three teams have been 15-1 in the history of the National Football League. Give yourselves a round of applause.
At 15-1, the Vikings weren't perfect, but kicker Gary Anderson was. He didn't miss a kick the entire regular season.
Anderson has connected on 46 consecutive field goals.
History of the National Football League, Gary Anderson had the first ever perfect season.
Late in the NFC Championship game, the Super Bowl was one kick away.
Gary Anderson, he hasn't missed a field goal since Moses departed the sea.
Let's put him away.
And they have an opportunity here with Gary Anderson to put this game out of reach.
This is the perfect way to end it.
This is a slam dunk.
Anderson has been automatic all season long. He's been perfect on field goal attempts and PATs.
Placement, the kick. It is
no good.
Shot. It missed wide to the left. Unbelievable.
I remember looking up and saying,
earmuffs.
Wow.
Our number 6 foul up gave the Falcons new life. They tied the game, and in overtime, their Anderson didn't miss.
By Mark Anderson. The kick was
all right. I can't listen anymore. I just can't. That was
bringing it down, Lou. Bringing it down.
I mean, it had to be addressed. We can't do a salute to losing without that in there. And it was a tough day for me. I was living in Indiana at college. I was wearing purple from head to toe, I was a freshman in college and watching with other Viking fans. And when he missed that kick, the air just was sucked out of the room. Now, the rest of the day, I wore purple from head to toe. The other people changed out of their clothing because, you know, you're moving target then in Indiana, because obviously there's not a lot of Viking fans. But I went out in public and I took my beating because I felt like I needed to really back my team more that day than ever. And I know that I'm a weird, sick individual who likes pain, but
I think that's a masochist.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really a low moment of my life as a sports fan. It just was horrible. But I do want to defend, if I can, Gary Anderson for just a moment. Because Gary Anderson was perfect all season long, but the Vikings were up 7. This is what people forget. We all remember the miss, but the Vikings were up 7 with about 2 minutes to go. I 100% agree it would have just sealed it. It would have been over, no question. But I don't know. Buckle down, defense.
There's still a few points that had to be scored. Yeah. Somebody else had to make a few mistakes to make that thing happen.
Right. Stop them. That's all you have to do is in 2 minutes stop them. And then, so they score a touchdown at the end. It goes into overtime. We have a chance to win in overtime. But no, we didn't. But, you know, it's funny. The two Viking losses, if you look at those, both of them, after the loss, there were rule changes that if the rules were in place today in those games, the Vikings would have or might have won. The Arizona game, the person who caught the ball got 1 foot down and then was pushed out of bounds. Well, at the time, the rule was if you could get both feet down without being pushed out, they counted it. And it was just a judgment call from the referee. So they basically were saying he could have gotten 2 feet down, but he was pushed before he had the chance to do so.
Oh, he could have.
Could have.
Interesting.
And now the rule is you don't get 2 feet down. That is not a catch. So the Vikings would have won that game had it been played today. Now, in the case with the Falcons overtime game, the Vikings lost the game in overtime. The Falcons got the kick, move down the field, kick the field goal to win the game. Well, today the overtime rules are you have to score a touchdown first. If you go for a field goal, the other team gets a possession, gets a chance to at least tie it up. And in that day, it was just sudden death. Now, I'm not saying the Vikings would have won, but they would have had a chance to win. So
potentially Anderson might not have been the only person
right.
who was blamed on this.
Exactly, exactly. So speaking of losers, let's talk about the
I like that segue.
Let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, we had a decent team in the late 90s with Kevin Garnett and Sam Cassell and Latrell I Can't Feed My Children Sprewell, if you'll remember that. He turned Latrell Sprewell, just to put a little context in this, is not the smartest man in the world. He turned down an $8 million a year contract from the Minnesota Timberwolves, saying that it was insulting to him and he, quote, had to feed his family. So he wanted more money out of the Timberwolves. The irony is nobody else in the league paid him. He never played again.
Well, you know, his kids do have a very specific diet. They have to eat Rolls Royces. They devour them.
Yes.
Nothing else will do.
No, nothing will do. So anyway, so this is an interview with David Kahn. This was a summer league game. Now, David Kahn was the president of Minnesota Timberwolves basketball operations. He just recently got fired, and one of ours, Flip Saunders, has taken over. But this is Chris Webber, who is a great NBA player, talking with David Kahn about Darko Milicic. Now, Darko was a big underachieving player, number two pick overall, not by the Timberwolves, but by the Detroit Pistons, just really underachieved throughout his entire career. But David Kahn thought he could save it. Where he really starts to push Chris Webber's buttons is he's starting to compare Darko to Chris Webber. And Chris Webber doesn't like it. Take a listen.
Great chance of being our starting center.
Yeah, and I asked that question, you know, not thinking of him the way that you did, but one thing that, you know, every guy that's played this game knows is that all it takes is for someone to believe in you and put you in a position for success. So I'll definitely be looking forward to watching his growth with you guys this year.
Well, and I think that your career is somewhat indicative. I mean, what year was it that you really felt like you kind of felt like you were in your own in the league?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, but we're not talking about me and Darko at the same time. No.
But not until you got to Sacramento. Did your career take off?
Well, I don't want to talk about me. We're talking to you, and we're not going to talk about me and Darko in the same sentence.
I'm not suggesting, Chris, that your career
mirrored it. I know, I'm just joking, David.
But it
Come
takes
on,
time
man.
For some of these guys. You know, everybody's so
it does.
Impatient.
And the fact that he's young and the fact that he's tall, it's just, you know, you just want to know when other teams have given up on a guy kind of or not played them for reasons or behind the scenes we don't know. And so just want to know what it was with him that you saw, and definitely be looking forward to seeing that this year.
Do you think stability and belief is the missing ingredients? Are the missing ingredients?
And I think style of play. I think he bought okay. in. He, you know, the type of game that Kurt plays for some people is hard to kind of pick up. We play a lot of elements of the triangle, and a lot of the things that, you know, Chris's team ran in Sacramento had some of those elements. It took Darko 2 days to pick up what many of the players needed literally 2 months to pick up.
The NBA will be watching. David, we appreciate the time. David Kahn, president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Thank
kind
you very much
to
for
join
having
us
me.
Here at the Cox Pavilion.
Good luck.
Your T-Wolves up by one here in the second quarter. Back with more after this.
That's just one of my favorite. I use that line around my friends all the time.
Good luck.
Good luck. You just say it like that, like it's not going to happen. And Chris Webber was exactly right. I mean, David Kahn left the team pretty much in shambles, and we'll see if Flip can turn around. We'll get positive now. We're done going down Loserville Lane. I tell you what we will do, though. We're going to take a break here in just a moment, but I do want to just tease what we have coming up. We're going to do a little thing called Christmas in July, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's old athletes of yesteryear singing Christmas carols together. It's really kind of cute. And then we're going to take a look at a couple of old sports commercials and talk about a couple of legendary announcers, Halsey Hall and Ray Scott. So please stick around. You are listening to KLBB. This is Flashback Twin Cities, the show that looks at media of yesteryear here in our local community. This is Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osmond alongside Tom. We're glad to be here. KLBB. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You are listening to Flashback Twin Cities, the show that takes a look at media of yesteryear here and right in our backyard in the Twin Cities. Today, this is Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osman, who is on vacation. Although I should say, I should make it a little more polished. He's on assignment.
Yeah, we know what that means.
I think yesterday he was like at Disneyland or something like that. He's doing something fun.
Isn't he in California?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's on assignment. That's what we'll go with. He's on assignment out there. Thank you for tuning in. Happy Saturday to you. Happy 4th of July weekend. Along for the ride, steering the ship, Tom here producing. Glad to have you. Thanks for having me in again.
I'm happy to have you here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here for you, buddy.
I appreciate that. Last segment, I got a little, negative, and we're going to get out of that right now. With something I like to call Christmas in July. It was in the late 80s. I think this was in 87 or 88. A local TV station put together, and what's so great about this is it cannot be, like we were talking about earlier, things that can't be recreated. I don't think they can recreate this, because this was the era where, athletes would just kind of do things. They were more accessible. You could get to them. They were making million, but not millions.
They weren't quite prima donnas just yet.
Just yet. I mean, some of them were. But this is Viking players, Minnesota North Star players, Twins players, the whole gamut of local sports teams singing a Christmas carol. You'll even catch a glimpse of Clem Haskins, the Gopher basketball coach, in there. And we might get to talking about him in a second. Here it is, Merry Christmas to you in July.
Watch out, you better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
As Wade Wilson.
He's making a list, and he's checking it twice.
Going to find out who's naughty or nice.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake.
Oh, better watch out. You better not cry.
Kirby.
You better not pout. I'm
Kirby.
Telling you why.
Puck it.
That's right, boys and girls. Santa will be visiting your house tonight. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
So there we have it. Merry Christmas to you in July. A little 1980s. A lot of different athletes there. If you look it up online, you had Kirby Puckett. We had Mike Modano in there. Clem Haskins. Some really great, great things. And you know what? The funny part about Clem Haskins being in this is the line that he had was naughty or nice. Going to find out who's naughty or nice.
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward a few years later, the Minnesota Gophers got in that academic scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Where we had to relinquish our Final Four banner. So I guess that was just a little foreshadowing, I think, of what was to come.
We found out.
We found out which he was, naughty or nice. So that was kind of fun. It's good to look back at that, a little Christmas tribute, something that probably won't ever happen again, getting all of those people into the same thing.
I guess I can see now why they weren't singers.
Right, yeah.
Their talents lie elsewhere.
Yeah, and if you could see their faces, I mean, they were just in fear of what was, because they didn't know what speed. I'm sure they just handed them a microphone and said, "Will you just sing a couple bars of, this Christmas carol?"
Yeah.
And the poor organist had to, speed up, slow down, depending on who was singing. But, sometimes the worse you are at those things, the better. It's kind of funny and charming. It gives you a little character. So there you go. Merry Christmas to you here on this 4th of July weekend. 4th of July weekend for me means fireworks, friends, and good old-fashioned beverages. And so it would be a shame if we didn't look back at some of the old beer commercials of yesteryear and Twins commercials. And the first one we're going to play for you is from 1965. We're going way back in the vault. It's a Hams beer commercial with Halsey Hall and Ray Scott. Now, to put this all in perspective for you, Halsey Hall was the Minnesota Twins baseball announcer from their origination here in 1961 through the 70s. And he actually originated the phrase, little known fact, that he originated the phrase, holy cow, as a baseball announcer. And so a lot of people attribute that to Harry Carey. That's a Halsey Hall thing. And Ray Scott also did some Twins baseball announcing. So he was a Minnesota guy. He passed away in Minneapolis, 1998, I think. But for Packer fans here on the other side of the river, or in the side of the river, whichever, there's a lot of Packer fans out there. Ray Scott was the announcer for the first two Super Bowls in CBS, which is really cool. And he was the Packers' local announcer for many, 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 many years. So here's a great beer commercial in which Halsey Hall pours beer worse than any bartender I've ever seen in my life. You won't be able to see it, but you can hear them laughing at the end. Here it is, the Hams beer commercial in 1965.
So I discovered that our friend Halsey Hall not only knows his baseball, but he also draws a mighty fine glass of beer.
Ah, you betcha, Raymond, my boy. I was once voted Honorary Bartender of the Month, you know. It's an honor they don't just pass on to anybody.
Well, next time you stop in at your neighborhood tavern, ask your favorite bartender to draw you a Hams. Big, fresh taste, deep and icy, light and easy on your thirst. And you know, there's nothing quite like the taste of good draft beer. Fresh. Clean.
There, they lose it. He's got beer dripping down his hand.
I went as far as I could. You see it running.
Yeah, well, does he have to pick it up and hold it out over the floor?
So now, today we've found out why athletes are athletes and not singers, and we found out why legendary broadcaster Halsey Hall was an announcer and not a bartender. It was literally the worst pour. No tilted glass.
Nope.
Just poured it right over it, so it just foams up immediately. It's all over Halsey Hall's hands, and he has to hand it to this guy who's doing a commercial. Poor Ray Scott's doing a commercial. Has to hold the beer up. It's just got to be just wet. Suds everywhere.
There's about a Dixie cup worth pouring out of there.
The other cool thing about watching that commercial, and that is on Tom's website, tcmedianow.com. If you go there, you can check out just about everything we do on the show is on that website, tcmedianow.com. And you can just look through all the cool stuff that that Tom has amassed there. And that one, you can search either Ham's beer commercial, Halsey Hall, or Ray Scott, and you'll find it. And the other cool thing about watching it that radio doesn't really do justice is it was edited on the fly. So they had basically a 3 or 4 camera shot, which is not how it's done anymore. Now you do a one camera shot, shoot it many, many times, make it look just perfect, and then take it to the editing room, keep what you can, you know, you take your best options. But that one was just done on the fly, 4 different cameras. So it's kind of cool to watch if you're a video nut and you like to see how it was done back in the day, because they just did one take. Whatever take was good enough,
that's your winner.
They just kept it. They just kept it. So that was a great one. I'm glad Tom could find it for us. Now we'll fast forward a few years and get out of the beer commercials and into the Twins commercials. Now, the Twins had a great run in the 60s into the early 70s. Pretty good squad between 1964 and 73. And then after that, there's really a dark era of Minnesota baseball for about 12 years that wasn't very good. And in 1979, the Minnesota Twins traded Rod Carew to the what was then called the California Angels. Now, Rod Carew had won 8 batting titles. 8 batting titles. To put it in perspective, our beloved Joe Mauer has won 3. And he's one of the best players I've ever seen live. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He's one of us. He's a St. Paul boy, so of course I love him. But 8 batting titles, Twins traded him away. They had a major PR problem. You tell me if it shows in this commercial 1975 to get people to the ballpark.
You know, ever since I came home to Minnesota, I've been hearing how the Twins are hurting without Carew. Well, don't count on it. Guys like Erickson, Goltz, and Marshall have given us some of the best pitching we've had in years. New guys like Landreau and Jackson have already helped us. And Roy Smalley's become a star. Sure, a lot of people have written us off.
That's okay.
Right, because now we've got something to prove.
Tell them Rocket Hill's Coos.
Right, right.
The Minnesota Twins. This year, we've got something to prove.
I mean, is that an inspiring tagline? I mean, if you're thinking about buying maybe a season ticket package, is that something that...
We've got something to prove?
We've got something to prove here. Doesn't not not we're going to be good.
That kind of means we're just not doing so hot.
We're not doing so hot. They had some major problems there spiraling out of control. Do we have the... can I put you on assignment for a moment? Do you have the Harry Carey one?
Sure do.
Oh, great, great, great. Let's... I think we should probably wrap with that, considering we gave a little shout-out to Harry Carey here with the Halsey Hall talk. This is a great bit. For those who like the Lumineers and the song Ho Hey, somebody went on the YouTubes and edited it up. So it's Will Ferrell playing Harry Carey. So bear with me for a moment. Will Ferrell playing Harry Carey saying hey instead of the ho and hey in Lumineers. And just take a quick listen here. It's gold.
I've been trying to do it right.
Hey!
I've been living a lonely life.
Hey!
I've been sleeping here instead.
Heck!
I've been sleeping in my bed.
Hey!
I've been sleeping in my bed.
Hey! Hey! Hey!
So show me family.
Hey!
All the blood that I will bleed.
Hey!
I don't know. I belong with you. You belong with me. You're my sweet.
Hey! 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 Hey!
There it is. I just think it's a thing of beauty. And I think it's a great way to end the sports show. I really appreciate everybody having me in here. It's been a lot of fun to do it for you. This is KLBB Flashback Twin Cities, usually hosted by the brilliant Tom Osmond, who amasses this beautiful database of information all on local media. It's tcmedianow.com. If you ever want to check that out, all one word, tcmedianow.com. You can find just about everything we played, the last one we played from YouTube, but... just about everything else right there. Great stuff. You got big plans for the rest of the weekend here, my boy?
Oh, not a chance. I'm going to relax. I'm going to love it. And side note, Will Ferrell got his job on Saturday Night Live because he did such a good Harry Carey impersonation. That was his audition.
Really?
He did.
Well, you know, he does such a good Harry Carey that nobody even impersonates Harry Carey anymore.
You can't.
They impersonate Will Ferrell impersonating Harry Carey.
That's true.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Happy Saturday to everybody. Happy holiday weekend. Really had a lot of fun here. You are listening to KLBB. Have a good one.